I want to add a couple of texts to those in the scriptures that you have in your bulletins this evening. Turn first, please, to Psalm 40, right next to the call to worship, in verses 1 and 2. I apologize for shorter sections of the scriptures, but it'll be the reason will be pretty obvious as you hear them. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, and that's page 594 in your pew Bibles. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Psalm 69, and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 69, and verses 1 and 2. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there's no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I'm weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. And then in the New Testament, these are given in your bulletin, Mark chapter 4, first of all. And just verses 13 through 17 in our Lord's interpretation of the parable of the sower, Mark 4, 13 to 17. Actually, you can just read at verse 14, Mark 4 and verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that's sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but they endure for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, as you move ahead in your New Testaments, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being kept or being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thus far the reading of the Word of the living God. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that by the Spirit you would so work in us to identify with the things we'll learn tonight, and above all to cling to the one in whom all the promises are yes and amen, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I saw in my dream, writes John Bunyan, that just as they, that's Christian and Pliable, had ended their talk, they drew near to a very miry slough, which is a filthy quagmire, that was in the middle of the plain. And not watching where they were going, they both suddenly fell into the bog. The name of the slough was Despond. Here, therefore, they wallowed for some time, being shamefully bedaubed with the dirt. And Christian, because of the burden that was on his back, began to sink into the mire. I want to begin tonight with a respectful quibble with John Bunyan, but it's a serious quibble that I have. And I must confess, it's something I've never understood about Pilgrim's Progress, and it bothers me. Evangelist deals with a burdened Christian. He's burdened with the guilt of his sin. An evangelist directs Christian to the wicket, which means a small, narrow gate. It's referring to Jesus saying, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. And so he directs evangelist, who's to bring the good news, directs burdened pilgrim to the narrow way. That was really bad counsel. I'll tell you why. When you deal with burdened sinners, they need to come to Jesus. Now, I know he's the way. I know he's the truth, and he's the life. But you'll notice in Pilgrim's Progress, there's a difference between the narrow way and the cross. But you direct people to Jesus when they're burdened with their sins, right away. What must I do to be saved, says the Philippian jailer. Go in the narrow way, says Paul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your house. Okay. Now, why do I say all this? It's not that Christian wouldn't have fallen into the slough of despond otherwise, but maybe things wouldn't have been quite as bad for him if the burden had been off of his back before he fell in it. But that's going to bring us this evening to the slough of despond. Christian and Pliable are walking along. They're not watching where they're going. They're right in the middle of the plain, and suddenly they fall into the slough of despond. Now, the first thing I need to do is convince you of the right pronunciation of S-L-O-U-G-H. It is slough, like through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, like S-L-O-U-G-H. It is not slough, like bow. It is not slough, like cough. It is slough, as in through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. Okay, so it's the slough, and you can check it in an unabridged dictionary, and you'll see that Pastor Shishko is right. It is a slough. And what a fascinating expression, the slough of despond. You know what despondency is? Despondency is worse than discouragement. It's worse than being disheartened. It's worse than just being downcast. When you despond, you are just flat on your face. You can't get up. It's like discouragement on steroids. Right? That's what it is to be in despond. And in my opinion, this is probably the cleverest, most fascinating section of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. It's interesting that there's very little written about the Slough of Despond. And I'm going to try to do a few things tonight to develop what that is. But it is one. I was going to use the word artful, but we don't use artful in the same way. But it is in the right sense of the word, full of art, the Slough of Despond. What is it? Well, listen to the description. Now, you've got to realize there is another character named Help who comes in here. We're going to deal with that a little bit later. But it is Help who's going to explain to Christian and Pliable, what, or at least at this point, Christian, what the slough of despond is. Then I approached the person, this is Bunyan speaking of this man named Help that we'll come to a little bit, who lifted him out and said, "Sir, since the way from the city of destruction to the wicket gate ahead runs directly through this place, why is it that this plat, this low-lying piece of land, isn't repaired so that travelers might pass through with greater safety? Why do you have this slough of despond?" And he said to me, now listen carefully, "This miry slough is peculiar in that it cannot be mended. Being low-lying, it attracts a continuous stream of scum and filth. A slough is a bog. A slough has got a lot of mud. It probably has leeches in it as well. It is a place of scum and filth that is associated with conviction of sin. For this reason, it's called the slough of despond. As the traveling sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there arise, and I would add, it's not just when you're awakened about your lost condition. You and I, folks, are going to fall into the slough of despond throughout our lives. Now, some get into it more deeply than others. Some fall in more frequently than others. But you all know what the slough of despond is. As the traveling sinner is awakened about his lost condition, and as we're aware of our sinfulness, there arise in his soul many fears, doubts, and discouraging perceptions concerning himself. Then all of these accumulate and pile up in this place. And so this is the reason for the badness of the ground. Now, let me give you a little background on this. When Bunyan refers to these characters, these were real people that he knew as a pastor. And there's interesting studies on who those people might be. In fact, who's Pilgrim? It's actually Bunyan along the way. And what Bunyan is describing here is what he describes in his own spiritual autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And in that volume, this is how he describes what he doesn't call there the Slough of Despond, but what he calls in Pilgrim's Progress the Slough of Despond. Writes Bunyan in his spiritual autobiography, "My original and inward pollution, that was my plague and my affliction. That, I say, at a dreadful rate, was always putting itself forth within me. That I had the guilt of to amazement. By reason of that, I was more loathsome." Now, this is before he was converted. "But by reason of that, I was more loathsome in my own eyes than a toad. And I thought I was so in God's eyes also. Sin and corruption would bubble up out of my heart as naturally as water bubbles up out of a fountain. I thought now that everyone had a better heart than I had. I could have changed heart with anybody. I thought none but the devil himself could equalize me for inward wickedness and pollution of mind. I fell, therefore, at the sight of my own vileness, deeply into despair." There it is, despond. "For I concluded that this condition in which I was in could not stand with a life of grace. Sure, thought I must be forsaken of God. Sure, I'm given up to the devil and to a reprobate mind." Brothers and sisters, you and I don't only feel that in a pre-converted state. You be honest. More or less, sometimes in others, we all struggle with these senses of dejection, where we wonder, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Bunyan develops a little bit further this, why is this thing here? And here again, this is masterful. It is not the pleasure of the king, says the one describing the Slough of Despond, that this place should remain in such a bad condition. It's not that God wants, likes this. For this reason, his laborers. Now, another little window on Bunyan. We'll come to this with help. Bunyan realized God, you know, he knows that God saves, and he knows that God keeps. But Bunyan also realizes God uses means. And as you can name individuals in your lives who are instruments to point you to Jesus, so good Bunyan. And when he refers to help this evening, or in this case, laborers, Bunyan's speaking of real people that were instruments of God to help others. Anyway, he says, for this reason, his, that is the king's laborers, have, according to the direction of his majesty's surveyors, that is Christ's surveyors, been employed for 16, we would say now over 1900 years, in attempting to mend this piece of ground, the Slough of Despond. Yes, to the best of my knowledge, this location has swallowed up at least 20,000 cartloads, that is millions, of wholesome instructions that have at all seasons been brought from all regions of the king's dominions. And those that know from experience say there's no better material for making the ground solid here. This being so, it might well have been mended, but it remains the Slough of Despond still, and so it shall be when they've done what they can. What does that mean? Anyone who has dealt with souls knows what it means. You give the comforts, the encouragements of God to people, it still doesn't help. In not a few cases. Like Jacob, my soul refuses to be comforted. And Bunyan so artfully develops the fact that for all of Christian history, people have tried to help people in the Slough of Despond, and they still fall into it. The Slough of Despond. Now, the filth, the scum, the goop, the mud, the refuge, the stench, the garbage that creates the slough. What is it? What is it that causes your feet to be caught in the mire, as it says in the psalm? Well, I've listed 10 things. Could have done others, but I've listed a number of things that compose the scum and the filth of the slough. See if this relates to you. Imagine this as this gross quagmire, quicksand, right in front of you, and you fall into it. Sin and conviction of sin are two different things. Guilt, both false guilt and true guilt. Fear. Fear of God. Fear of yourself. Fear of the world. Doubt. Doubt regarding God. Doubt regarding yourself. Warnings and threatenings. Unbelief. Weariness. Just plain despondency of mind. Opposition. Trials. Satanic attack. Discouragement. You ever been in the slough, folks? If I had a show of hands, which I'm not going to do, every hand would go up fast. I know for myself, at least once a week, I find myself at least on the edges of the Slough of Despond. They fall into the slough, the scum, and all that composes it. Now, what happens is very interesting. They're both pliable. We'll come to pliable in a little bit. Pliable and Christian are both in the slough. And along comes a man named Help. And Help is someone who helps another person going through times of difficulty. And I love the way Help begins. Help sees Christian and pliable in the slough, or at least Christian, and he says, "What are you doing here?" It's a great question. Because as Christians, we shouldn't have to be admired in any of those things. You'll see why in a little bit. What are you doing here? And then he says to Christian, "Didn't you see the steps? Now, what are the steps? Well, the Apostle Peter says that God, in His grace, has given to us exceeding, you know, God doesn't do anything by halves, folks. Exceeding great and precious promises that by them you get out of the slough, you escape the corruption that is in the world due to lust. And those are the steps. But the interesting thing is that Christian didn't see them. Now, there's an interesting comment here. We'll come to it later about why he didn't. But let's think a little bit about the steps. The steps are the promises of God. And I just want to make this real practical for you when you and I get stuck in the slough this week. That slough has in it the muck of sin and conviction of sin. Steps. Jesus says all manner of sins and blasphemy will be forgiven you. I think that's a great step. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be filled. With the Lord is abundant redemption. What a great step. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just and He'll forgive us our sins and He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll even get all that muck out of the slough off of you. Great step. See? The steps. Guilt. Whether it be false guilt or true guilt. Isn't the blood of the Lord Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, sufficient to cleanse your consciences from dead works to serve the living and true God? What a tremendous step. The blood of Christ. Fear. You know, the most common expression that God gives to His people as a directive in the Bible is fear not. It's over and over and over and over again. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. I will be with you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. Great step in the slough. Doubt. Brothers and sisters, how often, be honest, do you and I pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when the man said this to Jesus because of his son who was beset by a demon, Jesus didn't slap him down. Jesus didn't say, what? You got unbelief? What's the matter with you? He showed his power because that person was honest. I believe, help my unbelief. Warnings, threatenings in the scriptures, old books of the prophets, full of them. There's no condemnation. That's what it says. There's no condemnation. You know what that means? It means there's no condemnation. But I feel condemned. No, it says there's no condemnation. I don't feel it. It doesn't make any difference about your feelings. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I love that step. That's a great step. Unbelief. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Why do you doubt, Thomas? Here's my hand. Be not faithless, but believing. Weariness, despondency. I'll show you the best text, the best step. Look at Isaiah 40 and verses 27 to 31. I know it's a favorite text for many of you, with good reason. Isaiah 40 and verses 27 to 31. The context. Israel says, Lord, I think you've forgotten me. We're stuck in the quagmire of your judgments. We're stuck in the mire of our own failings. And it seems as if you've forgotten us. And the Lord says, why do you say, O Jacob? And speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You're in the bog with weariness and despondency. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall utterly exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a great step when you're in the bog and the scum and the filth of weariness and despondency. Opposition. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, for their blessing is from me. Oh, that's a wonderful step when you feel that opposition that comes. How about trials? Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into the bog of various trials, knowing the testing of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, and you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A wonderful step. How about satanic attacks? Jesus says, there's a great power that's in this world, but you take courage, I've overcome him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So you see, those are the steps. That's just for some of the scum and pollution that's in the bog. But you get the idea. Now, Bunyan notes that Christian misses the steps. And a lot of times, because the steps can be a little bit scummy too, because of sin, will slip on them. You need help. And that's why the psalmist, if you look at Psalm 20 and verses 1 and 2, this is where Bunyan gets his language. Psalm 20 and verses 1 and 2. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. The Lord is so good to give us helpers. And brothers and sisters, you and I get to heaven fully realizing salvation is all of grace. There's going to be an almost innumerable number of individuals, many of whom you may have already forgotten, who were helps to move you along the way to glory. Listen to Bunyan again. This is help speaking. It is true, according to the directive of the lawgiver, that a number of reliable and solid steps have been placed through the very middle of the slough. Those are the promises. But at such a time as this, when so much filth spews forth, as is the case during periods of changeable weather, when we go through difficulties in the Christian life, these steps are hardly visible. And even if they're no, you know what that's like? You know the promises, but you're in a fog with respect to them. You're in the dark with respect to them. And even if they're noticed, yet on account of guilt-induced dizziness, their feet miss the steps. So they're thoroughly bemired. There's a great word you can use at work tomorrow, to become bemired. Notwithstanding that the steps are there. And prior to this, of course, help says to Christian, give me your hand. A Christian stretched out his hand and help lifted him out of the mire and set him on a solid ground. He set my feet upon a rock. And then the pilgrim was exhorted to be on his way toward the wicket gate ahead. Now, let me talk to you just very practically about being a help to other people, because Bunyan was indebted to these. And in order to be a help to other people in their pilgrimage, there really, it's not difficult, but you need to set yourself to do it. You know, one of the best ways you can help people when they're just upset in their Christian lives, is just have them tell you what's bothering them. That's all. And when you have someone who says to you, you know, Pastor, I have to admit, I'm exhausted. And God doesn't seem real to me. I have a hard time reading the scriptures. My mind wanders. You don't have to have a theology degree. Tell the person to get some rest. He's already told you what the problem is. Pastor, I feel so guilty, and I just don't believe these sins can be forgiven. Well, show me in the Bible where that sin can't be forgiven. So get people to talk to you, folks. And then listen. Really, sympathy to enter into people. Please don't say, I understand. You may not understand. But listen so you can enter into them and their situation. And don't jump to conclusions and don't jump to judgments. Listen. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then wisely bring to mind the steps, the promises, encouragements, truths, commandments, a word spoken in season, how good it is. The Lord's given me the tongue of the learned that I might speak a word to him who is weary. Okay, so bring to bear texts that are helpful. Always open up the gospel. That's one thing. You know what the gospel's like? It's like these Russian dolls. You know, you get the Russian dolls, and you open one up, and there's another one in there. And you open it up, and there's another one in there. You open it up, there's another one, another one. They'll go all kinds. And that's what the gospel's like. You always, I just feel so foolish going through. Well, that Jesus is your wisdom. Look to him. I just feel lost. I'm like, well, Jesus is the way. Follow him. As I go through my Christian life, I wonder, how my children, why is the Lord going to save them? Is he going to work in them? Remember how Jesus blessed those who came to him about their children? So open up the gospel to people, righteousness. I feel so filthy in my righteousness. Well, you've got the righteousness of Jesus. My sins are so bad. Really? They're more powerful than the merit of the God-man who died on the cross. Tell them about Jesus. Open the gospel. Fascinating. And see, you do this as a help. You got to be careful how you do this. Just drawing from your own life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, that we might be able to comfort others with the very same comforts with which we are comforted of God. Pastor, I'm in the slough of despond, and say, at times I'm right there with you. And don't be afraid to say that. And then always pray with people. And for them, too. But just pray with them. And those are the means that God uses as helps to get people out of the slough of despond. Now, let's wrap all this up. A couple things to do here. What about pliable? Pliable's in here. Pliable falls in the slough and says to Christian, whoa, wait a minute. I love talking about heaven and glory and the promises and being with the angels and all that stuff. I don't like this stuff. I'm out of here, man. Because Pliable didn't have a root in himself. It was a seed sown on the ground for joy. It came up for a while. But see how Bunyan depicts the scriptures. And he's out of there. Now, here's the interesting thing with Pliable. He goes back to the city of destruction. And there's three categories of response. Some of the people say to him, he's really smart. He finally got smart and he came back to the city of destruction. But you got an equal number of people and say, this guy was a fool to even leave it to begin with. And as a result, all of them said, He doesn't have any courage. He doesn't have the courage of his convictions. And he lost all around. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 2. This, dear brothers and sisters, this is the kind of ministry of a man whose blood bled Bibline. It was worse for Pliable when he went back. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. They promised them freedom. Oh, look at all the freedom and joys and blessings you have in the city of destruction. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. Page 1300. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he's enslaved. Watch. For if, after they've escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, think Pliable, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to be like Pliable, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Pliable was still in the mire. It just looked and smelled a little different. And I don't know why this is. But people start off on the Christian path, and for whatever reason, they desire to go back, and it's worse in the long run. Well, as we close this, another little fascinating tidbit from this section in Pilgrim's Progress. Pliable gets out of the mire pretty quickly. He doesn't have a burden on his back. And he makes sure he gets out of the mire on the side that faces the city of destruction. And that's where he goes back. Christians in the mire, and you got to picture this, trying to keep afloat in this goop. He's got this burden on his back. He is sinking in the mire. He is choking in the grime and the grit and the muck. But all along, he's moving ahead toward where the wicket gate is. And when he gets out, he's still facing the wicket gate. What does that mean? Brothers and sisters, my guess is that you and I are going to fall into a more or less deep slough of despond this week. Probably. I say this respectfully, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference that you fall into the slough of despond. There's the steps there, we've talked about them. The concern is what direction you're facing when you get out. As difficult as it may be, brothers and sisters, and it is, there's pain in the Christian life. Christians don't know what it is to feel the burden of remaining indwelling sin. Non-Christians don't. They don't grasp it. Why are you so obsessed with this? And you're in the slough of despond. You get out. You keep heading toward Christ. That's why the Bible says, press forward to the high calling of God in Christ. And in pressing forward, don't miss the steps. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this way of this different way of learning so much of your word, to learn of pliables and of helps and of sloughs and of bogs and of rocks and of steps and of promises, all in one brief section. That is so amazing. But Lord, thank you for this masterfully presented piece of Pilgrim's Progress, because it really does describe what we fall into, not just at times when we're careless, but even as we're being careful. Lord Jesus, grant to us the helpers, whether it be pastors or elders or deacons or neighbors or friends, other believers, whoever it might be, whether it be texts, whether it be emails, whether it be personal words or phone calls, notes, give us the helps that we need so that we'll find the steps. And when we slip on them, because it's easy to do that, grant us grace to stand up. Grant us grace to walk, stand on the promises, walk on the promises, and always keep going in the direction of heaven for the sake of the one who reigns from there, our great King and Savior Jesus. Amen.